We're getting closer to opening day. We talk about it all on a live edition of Locked On Cubs.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy, and this is Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Please support the show and be a part of the Locked On Cubs community by following on all audio platforms, and you can watch, subscribe, and leave a comment on YouTube. Thanks so much for making us your first listen. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into discussion with you on all things Cubs. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. We are recording for Wednesday's episode here live on a Tuesday evening. So we are getting closer and closer to opening day, knocking on the door of opening day, you might say. And if you are listening on Wednesday, we're just one day away. We'll also be live 5 p.m. Thursday, live at 5, and after the final out on Saturday. Sam, really excited to get into it with you here. A lot of Cubs news over the last 24 hours or so. Nico Horner signed a contract extension. The Cubs get closer to finalizing their opening day roster. They made some moves there. And we're also going to get into some live mailbag action later with some comments and questions from listeners. We are going to start with Nico Horner. I know you were all over this on Monday night, and it's certainly exciting for Jed Hoyer to get this done.
Can I say something before we get into this? You know what I mean? Yeah. Before we do your dance, let's talk this, and that. First of all, hello to everybody. First of all, hello to everybody listening. I mean, this is great. Uh-huh. I mean, what we'll get to everybody's comments a little bit later on. I'm in a great mood, folks. Okay. This is tremendous. It's opening day. I feel really, really good about where this team's at. Yes, Drew Smyly gave up 74 hits in 3 2/3 today. Yes, Michael Fulmer looked like Kevin Gregg. But with that being said, I really like where this roster is. I really like what this team has done. I think they're going to be way better than people think. My expectations and optimism are sky high. Transitioning into Nico Horner here. I got a little flack from people because yesterday I said on the show, hey, it's probably not going to happen. Look, this was a very small extension, albeit very good business by both sides, Matthew. Why? Well, here's what the Cubs basically did. They literally, and I mean literally, bought an extra year of control for Nico Horner. In return, Nico right. Horner got a raise instead of having to go through arbitration and get a certain amount of money. He basically got a guaranteed raise of 3 years, $35 million kicking in next year. It works great for both sides. The Cubs get to evaluate Nico a little bit longer. If all goes according to plan and Nico Horner continues to stay healthy, play elite defense, and shows his hit tool, we'll probably be here 2 years from now talking about a real big-time extension, similar to the one Andrés Giménez just signed for the Cleveland Guardians. But this deal made sense because I said it. It made no sense for the Cubs to give Nico a 6-7-8 year deal he left because he hasn't even been able to prove that he could stay healthy for a full season. But this is great because, as Jim just pointed out, you avoid that arbitration stuff, which can get really ugly. Just see Corbin Burns for that. Mm-hmm. And you get to evaluate him longer. Nico Horner is going to be a Cub for a long time. Clearly he likes it here or he wouldn't have agreed to something like that. Clearly the Cubs value him. It's a small move, but I think a very smart move by both sides.
Absolutely. And, you know, it does take him just through that extra free agent year because he was already signed through 25. So that part is unusual to me. This type of extension, this length is a little bit unusual. Only one free agent year taken up. But honestly, Sam, I think a lot of this is the Cubs building up some goodwill.
Agree, Matthew.
And I think that's okay, because this is also a rare case where you're spending on future performance. Horner's first full year in this level of baseball was just last year, but we're hoping for 145, 150 plus games this 2023 campaign. But you know, the way he projects, the type of player he is, the type of teammate, you know, no, not a peep from him moving right to second base. I think the him and Swanson combo through 26 is really what does it for me here. You have two main positions on the field that are just locked in for 4 years. Not every team can say that. And he still personally reaches free agency at age 29. So he makes more money quicker, makes it at a guaranteed rate. And I think this is good for all parties involved, you might say.
No, I fully agree with you, and you made a great point about the goodwill. The Cubs needed to do something to get themselves some good PR, and the Hap thing wouldn't have made sense to do that for good PR because that could actually be damaging. This is a no-risk move. I mean, Nico right. Horner should be a $20 million a year player wow. at some point at least. So you're just keeping him on the field very, very positive. And look, Matt, I just love everything that's going on. Like I said, outside of what I said, it's, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and our listeners, please correct me if I'm wrong. This is the most positive vibes, the best vibes I felt before opening day since the 2018 season. That's where I'm at. 16 speaks for itself. 17 was obviously the best vibes because we were in celebratory mode. 18, I still felt really good about that team. They won 95 games. We know what happened. Before 19, I didn't have a great feeling. Before 20, I was starting to get fatigued. Before 21, I was sleeping. Before 22, I wanted it to be October already. Now I am here. I am excited. I think, and let's just say congrats to FanDuel because I've made myself a little personal wager on the Cubs over. I am feeling very good. Look, it's a day-to-day game, Matt. It's a day-to-day business, and you know me better than everybody on here combined. You know the first time they lose, I'll be heartbroken and disappointed. But right now, I am feeling very, very good, and the Nico Horner extension is just one of the many, many reasons why. Man, can this team defend?
No, the optimism meter is flowing right now. It's going to high levels. You know, we're going to definitely get into it as well on our opening day preview for Thursday's regular episode. But I think optimism is a good thing. You know, I think it's a positive as a fan, obviously. And I'm really excited for Thursday, you know, Thursday 1:20, weather permitting, of course. I'm really, really happy that we've made it this far. I'm excited about, you know, our spot in the conversation as well. And just really good stuff already in the chat. I know they're getting into it about Madrigal.
Oh, we're going to get into the chat.
So we'll respond.
I see every chat coming in, and I'm going to respond to some of these chats, if you don't mind, at some point later in the show, Matthew. You know, there's some people out there that think Nick Madrigal is some sort of, you know, second coming of Jose Altuve, and I'm starting to get tired of it.
Well, I think we're going to do that when we get to the opening day roster. So the Zips projection on Horner, Sam, a slash line of 273, 326, 384 with 7 home runs and 55 driven in, a 3-win player. What are your thoughts on that to wrap up?
I think the Zips projection could miss me. How's that?
Okay, well, that's...
What did you say, 273 with 7 homers? What is he, Jeff Blauser?
Yeah, that's the projection, man.
No, I want... First of all, he's going to hit 10 home runs.
He might hit 20.
No, he's not gonna. If he hits 20, you do the show with Politis.
Okay.
I would say 10 to 15 on the homer front. I'm hoping for 280 and above. I think last year was like 281, 282, and just outstanding Gold Glove caliber defense.
Well, and I'm with you on throwing a lot of this now to the side. Let's roll the ball out on Thursday and let's get moving on this. I don't know how many more projections and win totals I can take. And today we're talking about roster, but look at how many roster projections we did. And in a way, we weren't even close. And we're going to...
Well, first of all, yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And we're going to get into all that
coming
up next. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the number one sports book in America. The Final Four has been set. And right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Welcome back into Locked On Cubs. If you're with us, if we're in your ears right now, we were originally live at 7 p.m. Central on Tuesday. Please join us live at 5 on opening day and immediately after the last out on Saturday, weather permitting.
A lot of lives.
As it should be.
No, it should be. At 5 on opening day, you might as well just say basically, you know, we want to go right after the game. We're just going to give it a little bit of a breather. Although in today's age, a 120 game, could it be over by 152?
Oh, man.
Because that's what people want.
There was a Cubs spring training game that actually was inside 2 hours the other day.
No, it's ridiculous. Okay, I love the game of baseball. If it's 3 hours, it's 3 hours. It's not speed racing.
So Jed Hoyer was certainly busy on Monday. Zach McKinstry was traded to the Tigers. Chris Morel was sent to AAA. Nick Madrigal and Miles Mastroboni made the team. And a surprise position player also made the club in Luis Torrens. On the pitching side, Keegan Thompson still likely to start the season with the big league club. Leiter as well. Merriweather did indeed make it. And the surprise there is Michael Rucker, who made the opening day roster. Also, Brandon Hughes likely headed to the injured list to open the campaign. We are going to put up a graphic here in a minute, and then we'll go through the roster as well. But what stuck out with the roster? Because this 26 is a little bit different than I thought.
Yeah, but so what? Like, it didn't stick out to me that much. I, you know, you're the roster guru. Let's get the ball out and play baseball type of guy. I did my homework on Torrens. I tweeted it out last night. I actually like the move. Has a lot more pop from the right side than you think, especially against left-handers. He has the ability to hit some high fastballs, and he's really not going to be a third catcher, Joe. He's going to be more of a utility guy. Think PJ Higgins playing all over the diamond. You know, the Madrigal thing, I don't mind him being on the team because I think he probably is their best defensive option at third base and their safest option. I know a lot of people right now are arguing in the chat about Nick Madrigal. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak for everybody and say there's every single person on this program would absolutely love if Nick Madrigal turned out to be a great player.
Totally.
All we could do. If the guy came into my apartment right now, I would say, "Or I'm going to order pizza on me and let's go Cubs." You think I have anything personally against the guy? I just haven't seen enough of him offensively to say that he could be an everyday player. He needs to prove that. He has zero power. He has zero on-base skills. He's not fast. He has one tool. It's average. He has to hit 300 for this to work. Am I fine with him as a bench piece and a defensive third baseman, second baseman, and somebody off the bench that can hit a little bit, for contact when you need it? Sure, fine with it. Love Mastroboni making the club. I know you do as well.
Yeah, I do.
I like Michael Rucker a lot better than you and a lot of my friends. They think he stinks. I don't think Michael Rucker's bad. I don't want to see him out there in a 2-2 game on opening day. But
no.
But to have a spot, I'm fine with. My only concern with the way the roster is constructed bullpen-wise is I'm starting to creep back just a tad, Matt, about the bullpen being the biggest strength and leaning towards the starters. And my only reason why is when you look at these relievers here, I like all of them a lot, but I'm kind of old school and believe, especially early in the season, you need defined roles. And, you know, when 40,000 people are there opening day and you're beating Milwaukee 3-2 in the ninth, that's just a little bit different than every other pitcher. And I think it'll end up being Boxberger early.
Right.
But I don't love just like not knowing who's going to pitch when, even though I think over time this will be a very good unit. Everything else looks good. It looks good. Rios is going to be a guy. I'm just going to say it. I've been hinting at it because I don't know when it's going to happen. But we're going to do some sort of Cubs X Factor show, whatever it is. Alex Rios is my Alex Rios. Jeez.
And Blue Jays.
Yeah, and White Sox.
Yeah.
Edwin Rios is my offensive X Factor early
awesome.
In this season. I think he's going to be very impactful. I think he's going to get a lot of ABs. He will hit multiple home runs at the Great American Ballpark. In Cincinnati.
Okay, that's a prediction.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you tried to slip that by us.
Well, I can't just say it at Wrigley Field with Burns and Woodruff and those guys in 80-mile-an-hour
wins. Well, I do think he's going to hit an opening day homer.
Barry Bonds wouldn't be able to throw a home run from right field with those type of wins.
Okay.
But no, really excited, happy with Mark Leiter.
Everyone
out there made fun of me on my show. I'm still living and breathing, folks.
Yeah, so Luis Torrens got off to a video game start in spring. He had an opt-out in his deal. If he didn't make it, he was gone. So, he was able to choose to be gone and be a free agent. So I think they're buying time with him. The Mastro keep, I think, is great because he can move all around the diamond. And I think you might even see him in the lineup on Thursday. I definitely dismissed that trade. That was such an early move. It was the first transaction of the whole offseason. And then he didn't really get a lot of PT in spring, really, until the last week. So,
right.
You know, maybe there was something with him. They don't have to broadcast everything that's going on with every player. But
sure,
he definitely hit well when he was in and played fine defense. You know, Michael Rucker, not a high-leverage guy right now, but I think he's earned a spot.
Yes.
I'm excited to see what he can do if he really is hitting 95, 96. Merriweather's a really interesting piece. Merriweather, Rucker, and Leiter could be people you match up with lefties as well since the Cubs are opening with zero.
There's a lot of depth there.
Yeah. And, you know, like Assad making this club officially, you know, really excited for him to be a multi-inning piece. And I think you're going to have a different lineup pretty much every day, especially these first couple series.
Yep.
That's where the importance of David Ross comes in.
Yep.
But, you know, it's always exciting to see the opening day roster. I'll be even more excited to see the lineup finally. And, you know, Madrigal. And then if I could follow up on the Madrigal stuff.
Yeah, well, you could do whatever you want because this is your program.
He might be a bench piece, you know, and if that's what he is for where he was drafted and how he was traded. And, you know, I think it definitely leaves room to be desired on who people maybe thought he was or wasn't. So,
right.
But if that's the role he's going to fill, he does need to do it well. You know, it's no easy task to come off the bench and get on base. But if he can do that, and could get a single to the right side or is able to accept the walk or whatever it is and play a little bit second and third. Okay. Let's see how it is. I'm not sure about him drawing as many starts with Wisdom, Rios, and Mastro on the team. But we'll see what David Ross decides to do.
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about Madrigal. You know, hit, we'll talk about you. Okay.
Yeah, no lefties. No lefties in the pen. I don't have as strong of a conviction about it. You know, it's unfortunate that Brandon Hughes is not healthy.
He will be.
But what can you do? I just think he needs a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I think the no lefties thing's interesting. I really think that they are just kind of saying, hey, you know, we got reverse split guys. Let's go from there. I want to make one point, but let's answer this question from Craig here, because it's this is relating. Who's the fourth outfielder? Put the graphic up again.
Yeah, it really isn't defined roles like
yeah,
that.
There's
a bunch of infielders slash outfielders.
Yeah, it's a by committee. Here's a point I want to make while everybody's here.
Okay.
That I don't think we've thought of as a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Who this is a question for you, Matt. Who is the main guy for the major leagues that has dictated and created these rule changes?
Theo Epstein?
Theo Epstein's correct.
Yeah.
Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer worked together for a long time. I guarantee you that almost these conversations years. About these rule changes came up at some point. And hey, if these rules change, how would you handle that? My point is this. I think Jed Hoyer, a big part of his plan this year for the big league club, is trying to get a head start on these rules changes, have a bunch of versatile guys, good defense up the middle, fast moving pitchers that are used to doing that, and seeing if he could get a leg up. I think that was indicated in the Tyone signing, maybe right. Even looking ahead with Stroman, Wisniewski works quickly, Bellinger, Swanson, defense up the middle. That's the philosophy. And so I think things are a little bit, they look a little bit different when you look at this roster and say, okay, who is the fourth outfielder? Who is the closer? Well, you know what? It's a kind of a little bit of a new school roster. And you got to remember, this is going to look a lot different when, say, a Suzuki returns.
Yeah.
And literally, just as I said that, Lawrence says, you know, that probably, you know, waves goodbye to Torrens anyway. You know, and then you have a fourth outfielder. So my point is, don't look at it like it has to be a certain way. Let's see what happens. They're experimenting, and I really think that they're going to have a leg up on some teams with these rule changes.
Yeah, and I think genuinely we don't know. We don't know who the closer is. We don't know who the starting third baseman is. And I do think that when Seiya comes back, obviously it eases a lot of these question marks. And I am excited for a Hap, Bellinger, Suzuki outfield. But we'll see. We'll see this first stretch. You know, if Seiya does come back on the 14th, that would be awesome. But let's see how they do these first three, four series without him. And it's important to get off to that good start as well.
Look, before we go to break and answer all these questions, I just want to address this quickly. Jim, you're correct. So what? It's over. It's in the past. The Bears should have drafted Patrick Mahomes. They didn't. I'm still really happy about where they're at. We can't keep talking about guys that aren't here anymore. You only could look forward. It's a new opening day, okay? Listen, I drafted Javier Baez to my fantasy team. That'll probably surprise a lot of listeners because I'm not the biggest Baez fan. Love those guys. Root for them.
Yeah.
It's a new day. From now on, we move forward. We traded Scott Efros, a middle reliever that I really liked, for Hayden Wisniewski, who should be and will be in Rookie of the Year conversations. So let's talk about stuff like that. Positivity today.
Positive vibes. I love it. I love it. Coming up next, we get to your comments and questions, so get those ready right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. As you can tell by my roster projections, I've always thought I could be a great major league GM, or maybe in my dreams. And as it turns out, it's not all that easy. I didn't have Rucker on the team. I didn't have Torrens on the team. And I have downloaded Pro Baseball GM. Turns out it's a challenge. We're going up against other lockdown hosts right now. We're trying to win for bragging rights. And there's a lot that goes into this game. This game allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons and leading your team and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty. In the simulation, you're responsible for hiring the right coaches and staff, scouting and drafting players, and navigating your franchise through free agency and all the ups and downs of a season. This is all in the challenging and realistic game world of Ultimate Baseball GM, which is completely free, playable offline, playable on the go, as you want. and when you want to. Locked On Cubs listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, visit probaseballgm.com and scan the code or get it in your Apple or Google Play app stores. That's probaseballgm.com for the ultimate baseball GM to start your dynasty today. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We will also be live at 5 on Thursday and immediately following the final out on Saturday. Over 100 people in right now. Thank you so much for being with us. And we are going to end the show with you with comments and questions to round out a fantastic evening here on the program. All right, so optimism is flowing, and let's start to get into some of this, Sam.
Agree. Car Ramrod, agree. Matt, you want to take this one?
You see the Cubs are plus 500 to land Ohtani from Joe.
Second best odds in baseball.
So I believe, Sam, you mentioned this to me in a phone call the other day. I did see that. So courtesy of Sam, and I know that, you know, that is a prop bet at one outlet. So yes, I have seen that. I've also seen the other combination of teams that I didn't necessarily expect to be towards the top. As we've put it on the show before, I think the Cubs are in that 5-16 mix. I really do. And for as much as you want them to be in the mix, at least initially, I think that's step one. I do think that gives you a little bit of a jolt of excitement that they're in the running for perhaps the best player in the sport. But it's a long way to go. And for this year, for the Angels, just an incredibly pivotal year. You know, again, I talk to my players all the time about the Angels. Not all the time, but I certainly bring it up just because they have the two best players on the planet and they can't win. Okay, so the other parts that they have, they need to execute that as well. It's not all on those two dudes, but there's definitely something to keep an eye on because if they lose out of the gate and by the summer rolls around, I don't see how they don't trade them. So that would be really interesting.
Yeah, I think everybody on this live show eat as much food at Wrigleyville as you can. Stay at the Zachary. Yeah, stay at Hotel
what
Zachary.
What about the Starbucks across the street?
A Starbucks. Grab yourself a coffee. Have a lot of foam because Tom's going to need a lot of capital to pull that off.
How about this from Thomas, Sam? A comment about Swanson. You know, he's heated up these last couple spring games. Have you seen anything since your comments on Monday's show?
Yeah, look, my comments on Monday were his timing was off. Let's see where he's at. He's a notoriously slow starter. He's streaky. Thomas echoes that. Now all of a sudden he hits back-to-back homers. The point is there's no concern level. Let's just let it play out. You know, Aramis Ramirez couldn't hit in April here. Sammy Sosa, you know, didn't hit many
home
runs
in
April. Yeah, it's just people struggle. Let's see. But the fact that he hit two home runs back-to-back days before the season starts puts me at a 0.0% concern. Got to remember, Dansby Swanson isn't an elite hitter, right? Like, I understand that he got a lot of money. He is an elite defensive player and a plus hitter.
Yeah.
He's not an elite, like we didn't just trade for Jose Ramirez offensively or somebody along those lines. You know, if he hits 270 plus with 25 plus homers and plays that type of defense, write the check and move on and be happy and move on to the next position.
Javier Assad had a good WBC. T-Time says, I think there's a chance Assad goes back to being a starter if one of the current starters struggle. Interestingly enough, T-Time, because Drew Smyly struggled mightily today.
And it wasn't the first time. They invested a decent amount of money in Smyly. What was it, 20-something, 19 million, something
like
that?
Yeah, 2 years for 19.
Yeah, so they're going to give him some starts. But yes, So you got to remember also Hendricks is coming back at some point. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Assad in the swing role. You know, max effort, 96, 97. He showed out in the WBC. Let's say that, you know, that's going to be it for now. I wouldn't worry too much about him being a starter. Let's see what happens with Smiley. I mean, these things are their day to day. I mean, if Smiley's bad for 2-3 straight starts and Hendricks isn't ready yet, then absolutely he could be there. And I fully agree, Lawrence. Swanson's a winner. I didn't mean to say
yeah,
that.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't trying to say to just evaluate his number. I'm just saying he's not an elite hitter. That's not his why he got paid. He got paid because he's a great defensive player and he wins at every level.
All right. Please join us for our regular episode, which would now be for Thursday, to preview that first game going into the first series of the year. I can't believe we're this close to opening day.
No, get psyched.
And then we're also live at 5. Put them up live at 5 on Thursday to go over that first ball game of the 2023 campaign. Please be sure to hit that subscribe button for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button, especially if you're with us live right now. All your favorite Locked On Cubs content, we're in your ears, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And you can drop us a text or leave us a voicemail at 312-834-4634. Thanks for making Locked On Cubs your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best draft strategies over at Locked On Fantasy Baseball. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.